hosted to our podcasts. My name is Terry Mason, and with the board of the Peace Alliance, I'm seeing some wonderful familiar faces that I haven't seen in quite a while. And we're here for our fifth Hope Story Circle. This is our fifth time that we're doing this. We're kind of framing them in groups of four. We had four that closed last week, and we have four that are beginning today. And we have some wonderful guests coming up in the next couple of weeks. We have Mark Lesser, Dot Maver, Heart Phoenix. But today we have our own. Today we have Liz Gannon Graydon, who is on the board of the Peace Alliance, an educator and peace soul. She has created What Better Looks Like, in addition to her wonderful Bryant Park Tea Parties for Peace. And we have Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools lead on our leadership council with the Peace Alliance. And Yelena is a mindfulness expert who travels the world giving seminars on mindfulness to educators and other people. And we're delighted to have both Liz and Yelena to lead our session today. At your will.
Okay, do you want me to start, Yelena?
However you want, Liz. I think we can start there, whatever you want to share, and then I will bring us in. I think folks are still coming in, so might as well before we go into practice. If you want to share something, I think that would be good. I think the password is trumping some people, so yeah.
Oh, all right. So before we go, do you want me to share the story that I shared? Are we ready to start there, or do we want to do something else by way of introduction until we do our meditation?
Yeah, maybe something else until we do that, and then I will kind of.
Oh, I see Dan. I guess what I wanted to start with was something that was really powerful about a week two of these calls. We started out thinking we were going to do 4 weeks of just sharing compassion and sharing stories of hope. And it has turned into something that we want to keep going with. And one of the things that I have done on the calls, which was prompted by something Sylvia Borstein said, to really focus on each face as they come up. And that's been a powerful just beginning meditation, even before on the calls, before we started our formal meditation. I've just been meditating on the faces and what would bring each of us. And what we decided to do as a format going forward, as Terry said, when we were thinking about the very first call and what story would move us, I thought of the folk tale of Stone Soup, right? And basically what that is about is after a period of famine and a period of pulling in, people came together in community to share and grow. And that was kind of the theme of the first 4 weeks. And we were trying to decide what kind of story was needed in this moment. And I look forward to sharing that with you in a few minutes. But as we wait for everyone to kind of jump through the password hoop and join us, I'd ask before Yelena leads us in a formal meditation, if we could just kind of look, if you, as Terry said, if you want to type in where you're from in the message so we can have an idea of where everyone's joining from, and just really focus on the faces and the connection. And for me, the miracle that we can all see each other, and one of the things I marvel about, Terry, sometimes as you hold the technology space of this, is when I was a little girl, I absolutely believed that we would be flying, you know, day trips to the moon with Zoom packs and all that. But I couldn't really picture this. I couldn't really picture this kind of internet thing that allows us to connect instantly with everyone, no matter where they're from. So I'm just thankful for this ability to be here together in the same space, looking at one another's faces from wherever, wherever they are. Oh, who's in Berlin? Houston is in Berlin. Wow. Nice to see you joining from Berlin. Yeah. So as everyone comes in, I don't know if we're how long we're going to wait for others, but Jelena, if you want to move into the meditation part.
Yeah, I think we can be ready. And I'm just inviting, I know Terry is phenomenal in holding the space for us all, but also inviting you all, if you're not muted, to mute yourself for the next part of, for the next 5 minutes of the call, so that we can each have an opportunity to really experience silence. So taking that moment for you to do that. And I want to invite us to really, for a moment, allow ourselves to enter a sacred pause and explore for a moment what it feels like when we find stillness within the mind and the body. And the invitation is to find a position that feels comfortable, a body position that will allow you to feel the contact of the soles of your feet with the ground. So that's the invitation, to find a body position that you, that will allow you to feel the contact of the soles of your feet with the ground. And allowing your eyes to lower the gaze, or if it feels comfortable and supportive for you, allowing your eyelids to close and bringing awareness to the soles of your feet and the contact that they make with the ground. The sensation of weight, that force of gravity connecting you with the earth at this moment. And anchor your awareness right there, soles of your feet contact with the ground, for just a moment. Just really feel that. On this Saturday, in this moment, the soles of your feet are on this earth, and you are pausing to connect with it. It is you connecting, committing yourself to arrive here and now, finding your ground, relaxing and softening to it. Allowing yourself to root and re-enter what we habitually overlook. To pay attention, to befriend and honor that sacred contact, that relationship between us and the earth that is holding and supporting us. And to extend our gratitude for it. Thank you. going to offer us a few moments of silence to let your awareness be in the soles of your feet with your contact with the earth, and for you in your way to extend gratitude and appreciation for it. And if you notice that your mind starts to wander, just acknowledge it with curiosity and kindness. Huh, isn't that interesting? My mind just went into thinking, planning, organizing, but I know I can gently bring it back to grounding, rooting to the soles of your feet. This reconnection is something you can return to at any time. You can weave these secret pause into your daily life as you begin or you end your activities throughout the day. What would it look like to awaken this connection and appreciation again and again and again? And now at your own time, you're ready, allowing your gaze to lift, your eyes to open, bring your awareness to our group, extending gratitude for being here. And with this, I want to kind of frame a little bit on what this is going to share with us. And just from this grounded, centered presence, there is this invitation for all of you to just dip into this space of deep listening, just as you grounded the soles of your feet on it. That's how, you know, the invitation is to go and dip down and feel that story Liz will share in her offering into a practice of deep listening. So it's listening that is beyond the rational chattering mind and just feeling the language of that connectedness, just like we experienced right now with your body and the ground. And the invitation is really to hear beyond the words, eyes closed, eyes open, doodling, drawing, dancing, taking notes. So just let's together listen to the story Liz will share. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Yelena. When we were thinking about how we would start this next 4 weeks, we were trying to think of a folktale because I think those are the kind of universal stories that help us instantly enter the place of connection. And this is the story we picked. When an old farmer's stallion wins a prize at a country show, his neighbor calls round to congratulate him. But the old farmer says, Who knows what is good and what is bad? The next day, some thieves come and steal his valuable animal. His neighbor comes to commiserate with him, but the old man replies, "Who knows what is good and bad?" A few days later, the spirited stallion escapes from the thieves and joins a herd of wild mares, leading them back to the farm. The neighbor calls to share the farmer's joy, but the farmer says, "Who knows what is good and what is bad?" The following day, while trying to break in one of the mares, the farmer's son is thrown and fractures his leg. The neighbor calls to share the farmer's sorrow, but the old man's attitude remains the same. The following week, the army passes by, forcibly conscripting soldiers for the war, but they do not take the farmer's son because he cannot walk. The neighbor thinks to himself, "Who knows what is good and what is bad?" and realizes that the old farmer must be a Taoist sage. And one of the things, as I frame kind of where we're going to go into our breakout groups, I wanted to share an observation that we had when we were talking about the story last night, and then a personal story of how it landed on me. Because when we were talking, Judy talked about the neighbor and how the neighbor was there to be, whether in what they perceived as joy or sorrow, with the farmer. And I thought, I had never, ever looked at this story through the lens of the neighbor. And Yelena observed the same thing. And we're always invited to reflect upon that kind of quiet equanimity of the farmer. But what I loved about the story was that the neighbor was there, whether in joy or sorrow, offering whatever support they thought that their friend, the farmer, could use. And we started talking about the lenses through which we can perceive things. And it brought me to a story that I wanted to share, a personal story that is very real and very alive for me in this moment. Because this week I lost a very dear friend here in New York to this pandemic that we're all dealing with. And I thought about a story that I shared with the group and I want to share now. My friend in her life had ups and downs, as so many of us do, and there were different points in her life when she was different levels of okay financially. And she had two small children when I had my two small children. And at one point she was living in a very tiny apartment up in the Bronx in New York. And she loved to cook. She was a wonderful cook. And we were always up there. And the seven of us, her and her two kids and my husband and I and our four kids, would squeeze into her tiny little apartment. And I remember one night she had made us a beautiful pot of eggs and potatoes. You know, it was always something simple, something that she could share. And through the evening, there were regular knocks on the doors. Because in that apartment building, there were a bunch of children whose families were even in straits that were a little worse off than my friend. And the kids knew that no matter what was going on in their own apartment, their own little homes, they could knock on my friend's door and she would have a plate of food for them. And through the evening, she just kept cooking and she just kept passing out plates of food. And the next day after that, I lived in an apartment in Astoria, you know, a nice little apartment. I had a good friend who I'd gone to school with, and she was similarly situated. We both lived in Astoria. We got together regularly. And I was telling her about my visit with my friend, and she was sharing how the night before she had been at a dinner as well. But she had been at a rehearsal dinner for a friend of hers, who's someone whose name you might all know if I said it, and he was getting married, and it was this big affair in this very fancy place. And she said to me, "But they don't live in the real world. The way they live, they have this grandeur, they have this stuff, they don't live in the real world." And I thought, do you and I live in the real world? I was looking at my friend in her world and kind of how she was living at that point. But when I shifted the lens, just as Yelena was talking about, right, shifting that lens to the neighbor or the farmer, I thought I was in this very loving, welcoming, place where everything was freely given and freely shared, and I felt welcome and included. And she was in this other space that may have, from the outside, looked a little grander, but she didn't feel particularly welcomed or included in the circumstances. And I thought, sometimes if we can just shift our lens a little, right, to understanding the circumstances and what that would mean. And for me, what I wanted to add on a meditation of the loss of my friend is, even in our circumstances, no matter how they look or how they feel to us, abundance or joy or sharing can come at any point, at any place, no matter what our circumstances were. And I'm meditating on that for the past few days. And I just wanted to offer that as we think about the story and what's the lens through which we're appreciating our circumstances and how we're looking at them. Yelena, I know we want to move people into the groups. And did you want to do the framing for kind of shifting into the groups, or did you want me to add that?
Yeah, I can add that. And I just invite, again, and as Terry is putting that in the chat, just a moment to really reflect on that, on what is that lens for each of us in appreciating our circumstances. What is the lens we are looking right now through? And can we see a different lens? So just for a moment, sit with that and pause to reflect on it. And go a little bit deeper. Really try to allow this to integrate with your experience, translating the story into the language of your experience as you reflect. And maybe that's just a moment to reconnect again with the soles of your feet as you reflect. And as we move into our breakout rooms after, you know, after this, I really do want to invite us again into our agreements so that we listen them again and again. And those are that we have shared, and I have added one more to it. But listening from the heart is really listening from that space of really attuning to the experience of the person that is sharing. So listening for the understanding. Pause and ground. So during the interaction, just get into a habit of pausing repeatedly. And especially before and after speaking, can we invite ourselves to pause and ground as we are speaking to reconnect with your body, the earth, the feelings? And just pause when another is done speaking, just giving a space for what they have shared to settle. So that's an invitation to pause and ground. And then speak from your heart, speak from your own experience. And trust that you will know what to say when it's your time. There's no need to rehearse your story. You will know your story when the time comes. And say just enough so that everybody has an opportunity to share and hold confidentiality. If something is shared that that person does not want to be shared in the large group, hold that close. And within that breakouts, we invite you to spend like first 2 minutes just to introduce yourself, name, where you're calling from, and maybe a fun fact about you. And then the invitation is to share what came up with this story. What is the lens through which you are appreciating? Yeah, and then we'll come back. Anything else, Liz?
No, that's kind of, yeah, I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. All right. Then I'm going to place everybody in breakout rooms. And what that means is you will get a message on your screen or on your phone to join a room. So I invite you to join the room when the invitation is given. And you'll be with a group of three people. That's my intent. I might have to move people around a little bit to achieve that. So if you get a second invitation, take it. It's a good one. We'll have about 15 minutes or so in the rooms to take time to share. Any concerns, questions, thoughts? Everybody on mute, so you have to raise your hand or something if you have anything to say. We have a few people on the phone, and your phone numbers are being displayed, but I don't have names for you. So when you get into your rooms, you can share your name with your group. All right. Let's see. All right, here we go.
We talked about the justice system, and I mentioned to my little group that I read an article in the New Yorker, which was very lucid about two men who were incorrectly in prison because they were innocent, and they refused to admit they were guilty, and you had to even admit you were guilty just to go on parole. I mean, the whole system is so bad. And the Marshall Project is a website that helps these people. I just wanted to mention that. Marshall,
M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L. Who's speaking? Who's speaking?
Pardon me?
Who's speaking?
Can you say your name?
This is Leona Clara.
Thank you, Leona.
I'm on the East Coast.
Thank you, Leona.
I wanted to add that I was really moved by the meditation part even before we got into the group. The connecting feet to the ground was something common for me to do with meditation, but the connecting to the listening put me together with another thing that's been recent for me is I've been going out in the mornings on my patio and listening to the birds. And I never used to do that. And I've just really enjoyed it. And I've been feeling this connection with the bird song and my ear, right? And in a similar way to the feet to the ground, that every listening is a connection. Every listening can be held in a sweeter way. As my ear, somehow the universe created ears and listening and hearing and sounds as a way to connect on such a deep level. And so I landed deeper in that listening as I listened to others. And I think that was a new twist to the way I hold my listening. So thank you for that.
Oh. And I want to share. And my name is Itaf. I am a Palestinian, live in Haifa. And just when, like, I hear, it's a listening from the heart. And this is what I'm doing. I am a counselor trainer. And this time, to feel like I'm not leading, just I'm participant, because every week we lead two councils for people to share stories, and I'm the leader. And I take responsible for that, to have a Zoom and to send. And now to be participant, just to be participant and to share my story, just I feel like a release and without any responsible. And I'm really honored and feel gratitude to be part of this. When I saw it like a listening circuit, I say, this is my life, because this is what I live, like in my body. I teach people really to listen from the heart, talking from the heart without judgment, and as a peacemaker. And thank you.
I was with Itaf in a group, and I just have to say that it is just such a gift for your presence today and for the stories and the things you shared. And thank you for speaking. And I'm so honored that this space, that we were able to have this space for you to felt held and supported and to have that release, because you're holding so much for others. So thank you for your service and thank you for being here.
Would anyone else like to share?
I'd like to share. This is Federico in Berlin. And in my group, Barbara told a lovely story. I think was showing, I don't know where your own, Barbara, but the poppy flower, and how the poppy has a kind of, you know, sort of dark side and side about how it's helped people with getting over pain with morphine, but then also caused a lot of destructions. And so the kind of lens of the flower and its different, you know, angles upon how it's used. So I like that metaphor also with the story about the lens of how use, what lens are we looking through? And I think crisis is an opportunity to for us to examine our lens and deal with crisis, and how we can, you know, make this an opportunity like this is to share and to center ourselves and to come together in community, sort of acknowledging, you know, the destruction that, of course, that is happening because of the virus. But it is also creating this opportunity to. So I'm grateful to be reminded of community through this, and for also with the lens and the poppy, and how, you know, how that there's power and how in the lens that we're looking through, and that we all have opportunity to discover which lens that is. Thanks.
Can you hear me? Juliana speaking.
Yes, hi, Juliana.
Yes, hello. So I'm from Mumbai, India. So I was very moved by the meditation, the part which made me aware of this mighty force of gravity that is holding all of us down to this earth. And then the image came to me of this earth being held in the hand of the almighty creator. He's holding the whole world in his hand. And then when that story of the old man and his how, you know, he just kept saying that everything was the lens he looked through, that he didn't know what's good or what's bad. And this verse has been going through my mind, that, and it's just been resounding in my mind this whole day today. And I just want to share it with you, that all things will work together for the best good of those who love God, who love the creator, our creator of the whole universe. And as I was listening to the stories in my group, I just got the sense that people, of those of us who are alive and those of us who've lost dear ones, are all held in that mighty hand, loving hand of the Creator. Our Creator, His eyes of love always upon us. So this is the lens of faith and hope that this is going to pass and there's good going to come out of it for all of us who are living and who are moving on. There is life beyond. There's glory beyond. Thank you. That's all I have to share.
Thank you so much, Juliana. Liz, Yelena, I think we need to bring it to a close now.
Yeah. I want to thank everyone for your sharing, for your presence. I want to thank Terry, who so calmly holds us all, and Yelena for your deep beauty and your meditation. And as I was thinking by way of a closing, what I loved about that story and how we spoke about it when we were thinking about this call was, as I said, I had only ever thought of that deep equanimity, right? We're called to examine the deep equanimity of the farmer. And it was reminding me of last week's call, for those of you who are there, James Barris, who was on, talked about the boat people fleeing Vietnam and how the difference between whether they lived or died was sometimes whether there was one calm person in the boat. And I thought of that call to equanimity, to be that one calm person. But when Judy talked about the perspective of the neighbor, and it gave me such joy to think about the perspective of the neighbor, because we all have beautiful people in our life who, when we're in tragedy, will rush to be there for us to help us. When we're in joy, will rush to be there to celebrate with us. And what a gift that is as well. And I thought, what I've been meditating for the last almost 24 hours and will continue to meditate going forward is whether we can hold one place or both places, right? There are times when we need to be that calm voice of equanimity, but also the beauty in being the neighbor there to share in both our joy and our pain. And so to close, I liked that so many people mentioned, Yelena, I noticed it too as you were doing the meditation, the grounding to the earth. So I'd like to end the same way we ended the first call for those of you who were there. I want us to focus on three deep breaths that we can take together. The first breath I'd like us to take for ourselves, to be calm, we'll do them together, to be centered, to be here with one another, breathing the same breath. Then one breath for those who are really struggling to breathe in this moment, those who are suffering, either the literal physical breath they can't take because they've been inflicted with the virus, or they're having problems breathing because of the other problems it's bringing to them. And then one breath to acknowledge our connection to the earth, the deep connection to the earth, and how we can breathe together with and through the earth. So if we could just all do those three deep breaths together, one for ourselves to focus and center. A deep breath of connection and empathy with those who are having a hard time breathing on their own. And a deep breath to acknowledge the connection with the earth and how we are breathing life together with and through our connection to the earth. I want to thank especially Yelena and Terry for holding this space with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. And for all of you who come and so beautifully share your vulnerability and your stories. I look forward to seeing you all next week as we explore this place of hope, story, and connection together over the next few weeks. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Unmuted, everybody. Say goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you. Jesus.
And blessings.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you, Peter, for sharing. I'm going to really be focusing on the words you shared in our small group and the perspective.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.